Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11. On today's show, we will have Chad Kanoff, who had just an incredible Friday night performance in Princeton's 52-17 win over Harvard, and who leads the Tiger offense into a showdown with the Ivy League's top-rated pass defense in Cornell Saturday nights. We will have Marvin Clesidor, the new defensive backs coach for Princeton, who has overseen the development of a very young defensive backfield. And we'll have Cody Cruchel to look back at week six and then look ahead to Saturday nights. Quick reminder, you can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network by searching iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can search Princeton Tigers. You'll get all Princeton podcasts, the Original 11, Laxcast, Tigercast, and anything else that is produced by the Princeton Athletic Department. Quick look back. Not much more you can say about Friday night. Dominant overall, you know, start to finish. Just, you haven't seen a game like that against Harvard in forever, seemingly. And certainly, there were a number of heroes, but nobody stood out quite like Chad Kanoff, who was the FCS National Offensive Player of the Week, Ivy League Player of the Week. 21 for his first 21, ends the game with over 400 yards and jumps six people in the Ivy League pass charts, goes to number 15 overall. He's going to keep moving up as he goes. And, you know, I said before the season, you know, if Princeton's going to make a run at the Ivy League title, you're going to have a great year from Chad Kanoff. And you're having a great year. And so, you know, you go into week seven and Princeton is certainly in the thick of the Ivy race. Now, obviously, they don't have full control of their own destiny yet. You know, you're going to have to get a Columbia loss somewhere over the next 4 weeks. Big one for them this weekend as they're at Yale. But you're getting a great year from Chad Kanoff. And because of it, you know, among other reasons, you've got a team in the middle of the Ivy League race. Let's hear now from the reigning FCS National Offensive Player of the Week, Chad Kanoff. Chad, let's start with Friday night. An incredible night for the team, for you. Could you feel early in the game that this offense had a rhythm that, you know, you've seen maybe a few times at practice, but it's really hard to find on a game day?
I thought we had good energy throughout the whole day, on the bus, in the hotel, and then when we were warming up, I thought we had a lot of juice. I think that kind of carried over throughout the first half of the game.
When you look at this offense, and you know, there were so many questions about the receivers that you had. You know, you had all those seniors last year, and you know, a little bit more unproven guys coming into this year. Did you feel like in preseason these guys would be ready to step up and that this offense could kind of just keep moving the way it did last year?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we had, even though we did lose a lot of guys, we have a good program, that we had a lot of guys kind of waiting in the wings and throwing with them all spring when I was here and then all summer. To Steve, Jordan, and Tiger, I knew we had good players for sure, and then in camp it was really showing through that we were going to be fine replacing the guys that we replaced.
This team had, after the Columbia game, you know, it seemed like it was okay, it could go a couple different ways. You could kind of, you know, feel a little sorry for yourself after the way that game ended and the injuries, and or you could really kind of band together, almost similar to what happened last year after the Harvard game. Could you feel it fairly quickly after that Columbia game that we're going to be okay, and you know, we'll see what happens, but this team is coming together?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a really good team, and we still had a good team even though we lost to Columbia, and we've definitely been playing really well since we lost that game. I mean, we got to keep that going, obviously, but whether or not I felt something unique, I wouldn't say so.
One of the big benefits I know for you has been kind of the chemistry and the play of this offensive line. They've you know, you returned four starters from last year. You have a couple guys who have been all Ivy. You know, they're not going to get the attention that they probably deserve, but how good has this group been? Because a lot of the throws you made, you were able to let those routes kind of happen and then make the right throw.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously been fantastic. I think we've given up the lowest number of sacks given up in a while, and it's beyond that, like, not even really getting hit the last three games. Like, I've been...
It looked like, yeah, a lot of those, you know, especially these downfield routes, guys are able to get there, and you're able to take a step up into a clean pocket.
They've been stonewalling defensive lines. I mean, you can't really say enough about that. Even if, like, so not even necessarily like the sack number, but they haven't been getting, like, collapsed in some years past or even some other games. It's a lot tighter. It's harder to throw in a tighter window, but they've been making, like, a really clean pocket, and we have good players that are getting open. It makes it really easy.
You look to Saturday night, and I think that, you know, people always look forward to certain games, you know, the Harvard game, the Penn game, these big rivalries. But this is a Cornell team that I think defensively has made a big transition over the last year. And you look at what they've done over the last 3 weeks, you know, winning two Ivy games, really shutting down Brown last week. And it looks like a group that, you know, statistically in the Ivy League, they're at the top in a couple of different stats, and they've got some seniors back there who've been in this league a long time, who you've seen for a couple years. What about this defense has impressed you on film?
They do a really good job of not giving up big plays. It seems like last year they gave up, if I remember correctly, a good amount of big plays to us, and they don't really give up big plays, and they make you earn every yard that you get. I'd say the biggest things that stand out to me, they've changed some of the things they do schematically, and it's obviously working. They have the best pass defense in the Ivy League, I think in third in the country or something.
Getting this opportunity, I mean, you've got 4 weeks left. You know, it's as wild an Ivy race as we've seen in a long time, but getting another Saturday night game under the lights at Princeton Stadium, I mean, are you allowing yourself to, I don't want to say soak it in, but really appreciate these final few weeks of your Princeton career?
Yeah, definitely. I try to think, I mean, especially as a senior, I've seen a lot of good players have their seasons ended because of injury, so I try to take every game like it's your last game you need to play. So I would definitely say I'm cherishing each and every one of them.
Definitely have to look back at Friday night. You know, we were in the booth, and I remember thinking the whole time, I assume this will get closer because I'm just so used to, you know, if Princeton's going to win, it's going to be a battle to the end. And I think it finally dawned on me in the middle of the third quarter, maybe early in the third quarter, that this wasn't going to be a close game. This is one that Princeton controlled from start to finish.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone give the record book a workout as early and often as you did. You had it open in the middle of the first quarter, and you might as well, because what that offense did, Chad Kanoff, perfect on that first drive, 21 straight completions to start that one. A lot of the attention on what Chad Kanoff and Jesper Horsted did, and if they didn't do what they did, you'd be talking Charlie Volker, three more touchdowns. You'd be talking Steven Carlson.
Carlson's the reason I had the record book open that early. He had seven catches in the first quarter. I mean, it was an incredible offensive display. And, you know, and Chad mentioned it in the previous segment, so much credit to that offensive line, because Princeton ran a lot of downfield routes that were open, wide open, but you have to have the time to step up in the pocket and make the throws, and this offensive line has protected Kanoff extremely well over the last 3 weeks.
Chad Kanoff has been sacked six times in six games this year, and no knock on Chad Kanoff, but that's not necessarily his game. He's not going to get out of the pocket. He's not going to take off and run, so he's really gotten out of these games unscathed, and you expected that coming into the season because that was one area with this Princeton offense you didn't have a lot of question marks. You have three all-conference players back. Richard Bush, their starting center, got some good experience last year behind Mason Darrow, and that was one of the spots you thought could be a strength for this team, and it certainly worked out that way. You know, the offensive line, you don't want to talk about them a lot, and we haven't talked about them a lot because they just go and they do their job.
Yeah, there's been incredible stability on the offense, and you've seen the results over the last couple weeks. It's been the exact opposite, at least in terms of stability on the defensive side, but yet they've figured it out. You know, the guys that have come in have handled the jobs. And look, you know, Jake Strain week one, Mark Fassati week three, Mike Wagner and Kurt Aluba go down at Brown and at Harvard, and we'll kind of figure out where those guys are moving forward. But, you know, in the moments, in those games, you have seen players, and especially last week, because when Kurt Aluba went out, that was still about maybe a 14 to 17 point game going into the second half. There was a lot of time, and this defense didn't give up another point until the game was well decided late in the fourth quarter. You know, it's that next man up mentality. It can be cliche, but this group is living it.
I think you wrote it in the post game, or you talked to Bob Cerace about it. I saw you mention it. The second half last week, they had one returning starter out there, and that was Chance Melanson, who came up with that late interception. But it's such a testament to what Bob Cerace has done with this program. You have teams that can have a year or two where they're successful, but you look at what they've done with this Princeton football program. They've built a program. They've developed depth, and it's remarkable that there hasn't been a drop-off. There have been guys that maybe have different strengths than players they've replaced, but at least in the final score and in the box score, there hasn't been any kind of drop-off.
Yeah, it gets to a point where you know what your strengths are. You know your role. You don't have to go into the game, and Ed Rudinsky doesn't have to go into the game and be Mike Wagner. He just has to be Ed Rudinsky, do his job. That's what has to be. You know, if Haluba is out Saturday, somebody's got to go in and do the best job that they can do. You don't have to have the 3-sack, 10-tackle game that Haluba had last year. You do your thing. You play team defense, and that's what they've done. You know, early in the season, you had the 12-tackle efforts from Fassati, the big games from Tom Johnson. Now, it's a little more spread out, and when you look at this defense over the last couple of years, when they've been good, it's been spread out.
It's spread out, and I guess the good thing from a defensive standpoint about getting these big leads and being able to keep these big leads, look at this past week in the second half. So T.J. Floyd left in the first half, didn't return. Kurt Aluba left with an injury, didn't come back. You saw the three freshmen in the secondary. You saw Samuel Wright out there. You saw Connor Mills. You saw all these underclassmen. James Johnson was one of their leading tacklers. And you're getting all these underclassmen who are playing significant snaps in a place like Harvard on national television. They're going to get in that moment when they get a chance to start down the road. And the moment's not going to be too big because they've had these game reps.
Absolutely. Saturday night, back under the lights on the NBC Sports Network. They get a Cornell team that is different than it's been in the last couple of years. You know, you've had Cornell that, you know, week four, they've played Harvard. Harvard has obviously handled that series remarkably well over the last decade and a half. You know, and you've had a Cornell team that necessarily hasn't been in the Ivy title mix. You know, when you look at the league right now, obviously Columbia is getting, you know, it's deserved attention for being undefeated, and people are talking about Princeton, people are talking about Yale. This is a Cornell team that has kind of refound itself after the first 3 weeks, got the huge win over Harvard at home 3 weeks ago, you know, beats Brown at home, and now comes into this game with a 2-1 record. They just played four straight at home, so, you know, it's got to be a bit of an adjustment coming onto the road, but you're going to get a Cornell team that believes, and rightfully so based on the standings, it is in this league race.
So Cornell heading into week four against Harvard, this is a team that dating back to last year had dropped 10 of their last 11 games, and that Harvard game week four where they picked up the win in their first Ivy League win, they kind of figured it out. And it's funny, this is a team that had dropped 10 of 11 as of 3 weeks ago, and now you look at them, they still have to play Columbia, so the Big Red controls its own destiny for the Ivy League title going forward. Kind of crazy to think about that, but you know, I don't know if I would say that Cornell has it all figured out, but they figured out what works for them. First three games, 11 turnovers, 45 passing attempts a game.
Didn't work for them.
The last 3 weeks, they've only been throwing the ball 25 times a game, and they've turned it over three times in three games, and they've been controlling time of possession, and they've figured out a way to use that deep arsenal in the backfield. And, you know, they have a quarterback in Dalton Banks who's kind of gone from this gunslinger who was throwing too many interceptions to somebody who's turned into a pretty good game manager and has been able to work with the talent around him. You combine that with the fact that they've been among the top four or five pass defenses in the country, and they have a lot of depth and a lot of size on both sides. Cornell's kind of figured it out the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it makes sense. If you've got that kind of defense, make them go 80 yards. Don't make them go 30 yards. And so, you know, if once you get rid of those interceptions and like those 10 interceptions that Banks had thrown, that's a killer over the first 3 weeks of the season. And, you know, you look statistically at that Yale game, first half to second half, they were right in that game at Yale. You know, Bulldogs obviously pulled away. But, yeah, the last 3 weeks, this offense has been more in control, and they've run the ball and let the defense do its thing, and it's been a winning formula. Beating Harvard at home when you haven't won a game in however long it had been, that's a tough thing to do. And they won a close 3-point game, figured it out in the end, and you build a lot of confidence off of that. You have a really good running back in Chris Walker, and I think that's going to be a big key, because while everybody will look at the Princeton offense versus the Cornell defense, and I think that is kind of the standout matchup, can Cornell hold the ball long enough to keep the Princeton offense on the sideline? Because clearly that is where they are their least dangerous. This offense has clicked so well over the last 3 weeks. You know, I don't think it's fair to think any defense is going to completely shut them down. But if Cornell is rested defensively and can control the ball offensively running it, that's how you get the game into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think the recipe for the Big Red this Saturday night against Princeton is the same as they put together in that win against Harvard a couple of weeks ago. They threw the ball 18 times. They had 2 touchdowns, and it was their backup quarterback, Jake Jadis, running it in. Drives that went 15 and 13 plays. They held the ball for over 37 minutes, and you know that's how you stop this Princeton offense. You keep them off the field, and we're not sure if Chris Walker's healthy or not, but even without Chris Walker, they have 4 or 5 guys, and they go deep into the backfield, and there's a lot of talent there. So I think that's Cornell's chance this Saturday night. They need to control the ball. They need to keep Chad Knopf on the sidelines.
Should be a good one. 7 o'clock. Powers Field at Princeton Stadium on the NBC Sports Network, NBC Sports Extra, the NBC Sports app. Plenty of ways for you to watch the game. On to our next segment, we are going to welcome in the new defensive backs coach for Princeton. He's done a great job with a really young defensive backfield. Cody mentioned it earlier. Freshmen like C.J. Wall, Trevor Forbes, DeLon Stallworth. We even saw Sultan Shabazz get on the field late against Harvard. Really young group, and he's done a great job with them. Let's hear now from Marvin Clesidor. Marvin, I know you and I talked before the season, and you know you saw what you had and the youth that you had, and obviously the one senior that you could count on was Chance Melanson. And I thought that we really saw the best of Chance Friday night. You know, the coverage skills, the tackling, the ability to rip the ball out there was kind of all on display, and was really, you know, in a game that obviously the offense got a lot of attention, you know, his play on defense really kind of kept Harvard from ever making a run in the second half.
Yeah, see, Chance Melanson, being the veteran of the group, he came up big for us in the Harvard game. He kind of, you know, played like a slickster. I didn't know he had some of that stuff in him. It's something you always talk about as a coach, creating turnovers, making big plays, you know, covering guys, knocking the ball down. And Chance did just that, went out and had 2 huge turnovers. You know, drives where Harvard was in the red zone, intercepted a pass, forced a fumble when those guys were driving. And early on, second play of the game, he actually dropped a pick 6.
Close one, yeah,
it went right off his fingertips. So you talk about having a career game for that kid, along with about 2 or 3 pass breakups. He did very well for us.
A lot of attention was paid to C.J. Wall at the beginning of the season. Anytime you start a freshman game one, you know, it's a tough spot. And he obviously handled it well. He was the Ivy League Rookie of the Week that game. But, you know, from what I've seen, he just looks like somebody who's getting more confident each week. And, you know, it just makes him a better player. Are you seeing that? Is it, you know, knowledge of the defense? Or is it just the confidence that you gain from playing?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. You know, as a true freshman, when you're playing the game, the newness of the game always slows you down in terms of the mental thinking. The more you play, the more confident you get, the more comfortable you get within the defense. And C.J. Wall has been great in terms of taking that experience and translating it to actually making plays. So you can tell he's grown up right on the field as you're watching him.
Somebody that doesn't get listed, and oftentimes it's just because it doesn't appear on the depth chart, is that nickelback. But Trevor Forbes has played, you know, as much as anybody on this defense, and I feel like, you know, a little overlooked maybe because C.J. Wall's a two-time Rookie of the Week, but I thought his play has been really strong recently as well.
Yeah, with Trevor Forbes more so than C.J. Wall was a freshman that played from the very beginning, and you can see in his eyes that the game was a little bit too fast, so you worried about him at the very beginning. But as he started to play like C.J. Wall, he too has learned from his experience, and he's playing very confident football right now. He makes a lot of plays that, like you mentioned, don't always get noticed on the stat sheet, but he makes a lot of plays that help us win on Saturdays when we play. So
when you look at this group, you know, you had the Columbia game end the way it did, and it felt like, you know, you can kind of go two different ways from that. I mean, it can really be a backbreaker earlier in the season, or, you know, you can build off it and make a big jump forward. And it just looks like this group has made that jump. Did you see that kind of the week after that game, and you know, how happy have you been kind of with the way they've responded?
Yeah, we saw it from our group the very next time we were able to get on the field and practice after that loss to Columbia. You know, it was the mindset of, hey, you know what, this team beat us, whereas we thought we had the opportunity to win the game at the end, and we let it go. So the guys came in with a sense of urgency the next week at practice, and you can tell, you know, and you can even hear it with a lot of guys just chirping about, hey, you know what, I wish we had another crack at playing Columbia, because they know we let one get away. So that sense of urgency ignited them to play even harder, play even better in the following games.
This defense has obviously had its fair share of injuries throughout the season. Started week one with Jake Strain, and, you know, it seems like every week, every other week, you're having somebody go down. How do you keep that from becoming a frustration and just turning it into, hey, somebody is getting an opportunity, go make something happen?
That very same thing. You know, players are competitive by nature. So, therefore, when someone goes down, they don't get frustrated. The next guy up just says, hey, it's my turn to go out and do my thing. So, the players view that as a great opportunity. Obviously, you never want to lose somebody. But when someone goes down, next man up mentality.
Saturday night, you get a Cornell team that I think, you know, people look at some of the traditional powers in the league and Harvard and Penn and, you know, Yale. But this Cornell team has played significantly better over the last 3 weeks, put up 34 points last week, comes in with a 2-1 record, including a win over Harvard. And, you know, where they've been led a little bit more with their defense, their offense looks like a really balanced group. They like to run the ball, but they have a couple of receiver options. What have you seen early, you know, in studying Cornell?
Well, with this Cornell team, one, you see explosive plays, you know, from both the pass game and the run game. They do a great job of, you know, wearing a defense out and then offensively finding a gap or a lane in the run game, or finding an open receiver in the pass game to create big plays. And that's where they've made their bread and butter over the past few weeks. And that's the reason why they've been very successful. You know, I think our defense is going to have to do a great job with the balance of their offensive attack. You know, number nine for him, he does a great job running the ball and, you know, breaking tackles. So we got to wrap him up as a tailback. And then when they decide to pass the game, you know, they have some dynamic pass catchers on the outside as well.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. A reminder, Saturday night, Princeton takes on Cornell at 7 p.m. at Powers Field. The game will be televised on the NBC Sports Network, also on NBC Sports Live and the NBC Sports app. Tickets are still available at GoPrincetonTigers.com. And you can listen to the game on the Princeton IMG Network. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Original 11.